told I was loud, but I didn't know I was that loud. Thank you, Rob. It's good to be with you today and to be with this church. I want to say thanks to the elders for allowing Rob to have a week of study. He's been away some and putting time into preparing for future sermons that he will be giving to you. And the elders taking that or making that decision, I think, says a lot for your commitment to your preacher. I know that when I preached for the Granbury Church for 14 years, one thing that they did for me during that period was that they gave me four Sundays a year that I did not have to preach. Didn't mean I had the week off, but it gave me time to do preparation and reading that I could not do otherwise. And this step that you've taken for Rob is tremendous, and I just want to compliment you for doing that. Rob mentioned that he and I spend time together, and I just want to say I am thrilled to have that opportunity, because I had a man, several men in my life, but one of them was Randy Becton, who was the director of Herald of Truth for a number of years. Randy just passed away within the past month. But Randy spent time with me regularly, encouraging me, encouraging my family, knowing my family. And one thing that I told Randy about a year ago, the last time that I got to see him, was, Randy, I will never be able to do exactly what you did for me, but I want to be able to do that for other preachers. So I am just thankful to God that Rob and I have this relationship, and I'm getting to know your church through him. And I want you to know that he loves this church, and he loves preaching for you. And he loves his Lord, and he loves his family, and being able to balance that is not always easy. But just keep encouraging him. In fact, during the communion service, it was mentioned that you're not a parent, but you sort of understand what it means to be a parent. I remember one time I had carpal tunnel due to some physical labor I'd been doing. I was literally rolling in the floor one evening about midnight. And my wife comes in and says, what's wrong? You're nearly crying. And I said, I've never had pain like this before. Before I tell you what she said to me, you need to know she's really a sweet, gentle lady, but she does not like to lose her sleep. When I was rolling in the floor complaining about how bad my wrists were hurting, she said, have you ever been in labor before? Okay, I quit crying. I don't fully understand labor, and you can't fully understand what a preacher goes through, but I just want you to know that you're doing a good deed for Rob, and I appreciate that very much. If it's where you can stand, stand as I read this passage. Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel, who had a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Back early in the summer, I was invited to a church to do their prep work as they prepared to work through Revelation in the summer. As I was doing my prep work in Revelation, Revelation 8:1 just struck me. And I did not get to preach on it when I was working with that church. And I said, I want to preach from this text. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Silence. Have you ever received the silent treatment? When we receive the silent treatment, it means someone is not real pleased with us. Or they didn't like what we said. And heaven has gone silent, and I wonder what's going on there. And let's think about that. John is on Patmos, an island out in the Aegean Sea, and he is there because he has been testifying about the lordship of Jesus, and it's not going over well. It took an official judicial action for John to be banished to the island of Patmos. He was saying, Jesus is Lord. I think Revelation was written probably in the reign of the Emperor Domitian. There are others who think it's Nero, and I don't want to get into a debate about that. But whichever emperor it was, John is in trouble because he is saying Jesus is Lord, and Rome says, no, Caesar is Lord. The church is suffering from that. In fact, in the first or the second and third chapter of Revelation, we are able to read seven letters that Jesus sent through John to churches in Asia Minor. All of those churches are told to conquer. In other words, they're going through a time of struggle. There is tension. There is pressure. As we read those letters, one of the things that we discover is the pressure is not only from the outside, but from the inside. From the outside, Rome is putting pressure on them. The Jewish synagogue is putting pressure on them, saying that Jesus is not Lord. And it took great courage for them to stand up and say that. In fact, one of the Christians in Pergamum, we read about it in chapter 2, verse 13, his name was Antipas, has been killed because of his Christian faith. And the church in Pergamum is complimented and encouraged because they continue to name Jesus as Lord even under that pressure. So there's pressure from the outside. But there's also pressure from the inside. Because as we read through these seven letters, one of the things that we discover is five of those churches are called to repent. There are things that are not right. In fact, there's some teaching that has infiltrated those churches that goes against the very basic doctrine that God gives us in Jesus Christ. In fact, improper belief leads to improper behavior. Bad content leads to bad conduct. And some of those churches are struggling even within with teaching that is driving them away from the holy living that Christians are called to uphold. That's the situation that these churches are in. In fact, in chapter 7, there is all types of noise in heaven. In fact, it's praise. Have you ever been in a setting to where there's thousands of Christians together, especially from our tradition, singing a cappella? It just overwhelms me when I get to hear that. Myriads, thousands and thousands and thousands, John see in heaven at the throne of God singing praises to Him. And suddenly, heaven goes silent. You've been in a setting to where there's something going on and all of a sudden everything gets quiet around you and you're not in on it yet? I think what God is doing for John and creating this silence is creating a sense of tension. Getting attention to be focused where we need to be focused. There before the altar of God. In chapter 6, we have read about some who are under the altar, who have been martyred, who have been killed because they are Christians, and they're crying out, how long? And they're also asking, who can stand before God? And heaven goes silent. Appreciated the prayer this morning. Prayer for our country. and a prayer for our world, that there are Christians in parts of the world that are suffering greatly. I have friends who, he worked for Aramco in Saudi Arabia for a number of years, and they lived there. They found a place where there were Christians from around that city that were gathering at a hotel in a conference room for worship. She had to wear the full head dressing to be walking on the street. They could not carry their Bibles openly. They had to carry them in paper sacks, looked like they were carrying their lunch. Evidently, some of the natives knew that the Christians were getting together and that they were carrying their Bibles in these paper sacks. And one day in the crowd, as they were stopped on a corner getting ready to go across the street to the hotel, a Saudi Arabian man walked up beside her and whispered to her and said, "Are you a Christian?" She froze. "Do I say yes or do I say no?" And she whispered back, "Yes, I am." And he whispers, "I am too," and disappears into the crowd. We have people going to great lengths to be faithful Christians in difficult places. Heaven goes silent because God is listening to our prayers. God has heard those who have been martyred for Jesus Christ under the altar crying out, "How long, O Lord?" And the reason there is still time and Christians continue to suffer is because God continues to be patient, hoping that more and more will come to repentance. But it's not just in the Middle East that Christians are suffering. It's not just under communist regimes that Christians are suffering. I had a man to call me a couple of weeks ago that knew of our school. In fact, one of our previous board chairs, the late Mike White, was a recognized chemistry professor at the University of Texas. This young man had studied under Mike White. Mike was a godly man, an elder at the Brentwood Oaks congregation. He had had a lot of influence on all of his students, but this young man in particular. The young man had been hired by the University of Texas to teach in their chemistry department. He wrote a lab manual for students, and in that lab manual, he wrote a dedication to Mike White mentioning how much he appreciated him and the godly influence he had been on him. And this young man lost his job for that dedication. It's even within our country, as well as the Middle East, and under totalitarian regimes. Christians suffer. We need to be in prayer, thinking about them and asking God to be with them. Heaven went silent because God was listening. And there are times, and I know that we're concerned about our country and the things that are happening in our country. In fact, I think there's a day coming, unless things change in the next decade or so, where the church may no longer have the privileged status that it's had in the past. With the judicial system and even the executive branch making decisions about the definition of marriage, there are Christian colleges in parts of our country that are now being told that unless they change their viewpoint and their acceptance of certain sexual practices on their campus, that they will lose all funding. We have had a privileged status in our country that may be going away. And yes, we hope that heaven is silent, and that God is listening because we continue to pray. But one of the things I think that we need to take courage from is this. That church that John was writing to was struggling. It was being persecuted. But it thrived in the midst of persecution. And it seems that many times when it's hard to be a Christian, the church is stronger. And when it's easy to be a Christian, the church is not as strong. So I don't think we need to get discouraged in this time, because heaven is silent, listening to us and our prayers, that God will be with us. But we too struggle. In Revelation, there are some strong words of judgment that comes out. But one of the things I have learned reading the New Testament, and Revelation just collaborates it over and over again, is that with God's judgment is grace. God judges us, disciplines us, because God loves us. And He sends His grace into our life in order that we will change. I was at a funeral yesterday for one of our board members, Bruce Evans, and his daughter, Melanie, recounted the story of when she was a teenager. And she was kind of in conflict with her dad, that often happens between teenagers and parents. And in that conflict, she finally said, "Dad, this is just how I am. You're going to have to get used to it, deal with it. This is who I am." And Bruce's reply was perfect. Bruce said, "There's only one I am, and you're not him." And I think that's a message that comes from Revelation. God is the great I am. He is Lord, Caesar is not, and neither am I, and neither are you. And God will bring judgment into our lives individually and corporately as a church and as a nation and as a world, because He loves us. But His judgment always arises from His grace. I teach a class at Austin Grad that's the graduate level preaching class. In it, I teach my students every sermon, and this goes back, way back, it's not original to me, but that every sermon should have a word of judgment and a word of grace, and the last word needs to be a word of grace. One of my students got through with the class, and he said, "I really caught on to what you were saying. I'll go to hell if I don't preach grace." And I said, "That's a little bit of an overstatement of what I was saying." But God's judgment brings His grace to us if we will receive it. And heaven goes silent. And what we read in Revelation 8, 1 through 6, is that those prayers from the saints, from the church, reached heaven, and God joined them and threw it back on the earth. God is paying attention. And we can be assured that even as we see our world, and sometimes we think it's falling apart, that in God's silence, it's not because He's not listening. And it's not because He's not doing anything. It's because He's giving His world more time to repent. And the church is called to be faithful. When we need to repent, we're called to repent. And all of those churches in Revelation were called to conquer. And so are we. I found a story from one of our presenters at the last sermon seminar in May, extremely encouraging, and I want to close with that story. He preaches in a metropolitan area in Texas. One evening on a Wednesday night, a lady had been parked in their parking lot about 6:45, and she was taking a cell phone call, so she was parked there to take the call. She started seeing all these cars coming in, and then she realized she was at a church. She was a Muslim lady that had come to the United States. She had been in a church once before, but had never gone back, and she decided this evening, "I'm going to go see what's going on with all these people that are showing up." Some women met her in the lobby, invited her to a class that was going on. She continued to come to class with them. At one point, she decided, "I want to become a Christian and I want to be baptized." And the preacher said to her, "Are you sure? Do you know how much this is going to cost you?" Because her husband would have been very angry if she had become a Christian. And she backed out. She decided again, same discussion, and she backed out. On the third time, though, she said, "I'm doing it anyway." She was baptized into Jesus Christ, became a Christian. Eventually, her husband found out. He took her straight back to whichever country in the Middle East she is from, and they were going to deprogram her over there. She's back in the United States with him and has to hide when she's going to church. In fact, she can only be in an assembly for about 20 minutes. And she comes for the Lord's Supper, picks up a little bit of the singing, a little bit of the sermon, and then she has to get back home because her husband would not be accepting of that. We have people, even in our country, that are struggling to be faithful Christians and doing it in danger. That is encouraging to me. And I believe that heaven is silent, not because it's giving us the silent treatment, but because heaven is listening. And what He calls us to do is exactly what we've done here today. Prayers were lifted up for our country and for our world and for other Christians. We came to the table as a family, being reminded that Jesus has died for us. He received our judgment. And God has poured His grace into our lives. And we're to be gracious people, thankful people living in gratitude. Imperfectly, yes. But learning to do it together, and that's why it's so important that we do what we're doing week after week after week. Don't lose heart. Because it may seem that heaven is silent, but God is listening. And let's keep praying. If anybody needs to come today for whatever reason, leaders of the church will be here to receive you and to help you. But if you need to come today, use this opportunity while we stand and while we sing.